The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 30. A Holly Jolly Christmas.
Mum! Tatty!
A couple who appeared to be in their late 30s stood between platforms 9 and 10 at King's Cross Station. They were bundled in heavy winter coats and wool caps to combat the chilly weather, but they were hardly prepared for the little blonde bombshell that was careening toward them.
"Oh, Lila, how we've missed you," Mrs. Darling said.
Other than her shortish light brown hair, she was the spitting image of Lila, especially the icy blue eyes. She wrapped her daughter up warmly.
"It's good to see you, Sugar Plum," Mr. Darling added.
He was a handsome man of about 6 feet tall with short, dark blonde hair and hazel eyes, and he had strong-looking hands.
"Did you have a good ride back in the train?"
He held his daughter tightly and didn't want to let go anytime soon. After Lila finished hugging her parents, she waved Harry and Hermione over to meet them. There was no hiding her radiant smile. She looked up at her parents, batting her lovely gray eyes.
"Mom, Dad, these are my two very best friends in the whole world, Hermione Granger and Harry Potter."
Mrs. Darling beamed.
"Hello, Hermione. Hello, Harry. Lila's told us so much about you two. You both sound like wonderful children. And as for you, Harry, I can't wait to get to know you better."
Harry's cheeks turned somewhat pinkish.
"Thank you, Mrs. Darling. Lila says the most wonderful things about you and your husband."
Hermione smiled brightly.
"Lila is a terrific friend. I hope you know how much of a sweetheart your daughter is. She makes Hogwarts special."
"She was the very first girl to reach out to me on the train back in September," Harry added. "It didn't take long for me to find out what a kind and caring girl she is. I'm lucky to have her as one of my two best friends."
"And she's just as lucky to have you as her friends,"
Mrs. Darling replied with a pleasant smile.
"Oh, and Hermione, Lila gave me your parents' address and phone number. I've already talked to your mum. We haven't finalized anything yet, but we are trying to get all three of you together, perhaps a couple of days before Christmas."
Her smile broadened.
"Your mum is a very, very nice lady, by the way."
"That would be fantastic," replied Hermione. "Harry and I are very much looking forward to it."
At that moment, another couple, about the same age as Lila's parents, called out to Hermione and Harry. Both children turned around to greet Mr. and Mrs. Granger.
"Hey, Mum! Hey, Daddy!"
Hermione squeaked with excitement.
"It's been too long, I missed you,"
she said as she embraced her parents.
"We've missed you too, Princess," Mr. Granger replied.
"It's so good to see you. And your hair looks so lovely. And how are you, Harry?"
"Hello," Harry said. "I'm great. I'm really looking forward to spending Christmas with one of my two best friends. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. It means the world to me."
"It's our pleasure, young man,"
Mrs. Granger chuckled.
"Now, where is that Lila friend of yours? I hope she didn't leave yet."
"Hey, Lila!" Hermione called out. "My parents would like to meet you."
Lila turned around and smiled.
"I'll be back in a minute," she promised her parents.
She made her way over to Harry and the Grangers and introduced herself.
"Hi there, I'm Lila Darling," she said as she shook Mr. and Mrs. Granger's hands.
"Hello, Lila,"
Mrs. Granger replied, smiling broadly.
"Your mum and I have been talking on the phone a bit lately. We should have all three of you together very soon."
"I can hardly wait,"
giggled Lila.
"For once, I just want to spend time with Harry and Hermione as friends and not just classmates."
"I understand completely," Mr. Granger added. "I'd imagine we should have something finalized in the next couple of days." Lila's smile faded slightly.
"Well, I really shouldn't keep my parents waiting. It's getting late, but I'll be seeing you very soon. Please have a safe trip home. We can maybe talk on the phone tomorrow?"
Hermione nodded.
"That would be lovely. And please be safe as well, Lila."
The two girls embraced each other tenderly.
"You have a good time with Hermione, okay, Harry?"
Lila said to Harry as she wrapped him in a tight hug.
Harry nodded.
"I will, Lila. I'll be seeing you soon. Take care, okay?"
Harry then offered to help load the luggage into the Granger's vehicle, while Lila returned to her parents, where they loaded up their own car and started making their way back home for the evening. It was quite dark, but the snow had stopped falling at least. Lila cracked open her puzzle and riddle book during the relatively short car ride home. It was a bit of a longer trip for Hermione and Harry, though. Hermione busied herself with her Roger Bacon biography. She got a bit of a workout just lifting the heavy tome, while Harry just sat quietly the whole way back. His thoughts dwelt on Lila. He already missed her, and although he was sitting right next to his other best friend, he felt rather incomplete. At least back at Hogwarts, he knew she was still in the same castle, even if they weren't always in the same room. Now they would be a couple of hours apart,
This was different to him, as he wouldn't be able to see her face for several days. He had a difficult time falling asleep that night. It was well past midnight before he finally drifted off. When Harry woke up, he caught the whiff of freshly made breakfast. Eggs, sausage, and toasted marmalade.
"Hi, Harry," Hermione said cheerily. "Happy Friday."
"Happy Friday," Harry replied with a grin. "I do hope we hear from Lila today." He grabbed a forkful of eggs.
"I hope so too," said Hermione.
"I know you had a hard time falling asleep last night. You've been thinking about her a lot, haven't you?" Harry nodded. "It's just weird, not having her in the same building. I feel a little empty, you know?" Hermione smiled at Harry.
"I know exactly what you mean. I miss her too, Harry, but you really shouldn't be spending a holiday being miserable."
Her smile brightened. "You're my other best friend, and I can't even truly describe the feeling that I have with you being here in the house I grew up in. It's so surreal. You're here. You met my parents. It almost feels like living in a fairy tale."
Harry returned the smile.
"You're right about that. I am happy. Happier than I've ever been, to be honest. I've never been treated like this in anybody's home before, and I really don't know what to think, other than that it's wonderful. I know you don't have a frame of reference because you don't have my upbringing, and I would never wish that upon anyone, not even Malfoy. But it feels so good having the two adults in the house that don't treat me like I'm a burden, and there's a child in the house that's an actual playmate, an actual friend, rather than a menace. Like you said, it's almost like living in a fairy tale. I can't begin to thank you enough for the kindness and the generosity you've shown me. I know you don't think it's a big deal, but I do."
Harry's eyes started filling with tears. He then looked into Hermione's eyes.
"You'll have to forgive me if I'm a little overwhelmed. Please just hold me for a minute."
Hermione got up from her seat and embraced Harry, who began sobbing softly.
After the two friends finished their breakfast, they got cleaned up and changed into casual Muggle clothes. They then plopped down on a couch in the family room to discuss their plans for the day.
"So what would you like to do today, Harry?" asked Hermione.
"We have board games, jigsaw puzzles. Maybe we could see an art museum. Anything interest you?"
Harry shrugged. "I don't know, maybe. What kind of board games do you have?"
Hermione bit her lip.
"I know we have Snakes and Ladders, Monopoly, Drafts, Pachisi, Playing Cards, maybe a couple of others. Do any of those sound interesting to you?"
"Drafts, I guess," replied Harry. "It's far easier than chess."
Hermione giggled.
"Agreed."
She planted a peck on Harry's forehead. "I'll be right back and get the drafts board in pieces.
But just a minute, all right?"
Harry couldn't help but notice a brown upright piano on the wall, between a tall shaded lamp and a curtained window. He wondered if Hermione knew how to play, and if so, if she could play something. When he saw her return with the game, he cleared his throat.
Hermione, he asked, pointing toward the upright piano with his head, "are you any good?"
Hermione smiled sweetly.
"Oh, the piano," she giggled. "Gosh, it's been a while. It's been over a year since my last lesson. I can play, but I may be a shade rusty. Would you like me to try? I'm sorry if it doesn't sound very good."
"I'm sure you can play beautifully," Harry replied. "I played the trumpet for a little while in primary school, but I was rather lousy at it. I just hope that I can play this wooden flute better." His face flushed a slight pink.
"If you wouldn't mind showing me, please."
Hermione shrugged and took a seat on the piano bench.
"I don't even know how long it's been since it's been tuned, Harry. Give me a minute, please."
She cracked her knuckles and warmed up with a couple of major scales. A small smile crept on her face.
"It's a lucky day, Harry. They must have had it tuned fairly recently."
She then played a beautiful rendition of Furley's, which completely mesmerized Harry.
"Whoa," Harry murmured. "Hermione, that was the most beautiful thing I've heard in a long, long time. You're not just talented with magic, you know, you're a talented musician as well."
He went over to the bench to give her a gentle hug.
"Thank you for sharing a gift with me."
Hermione blushed deeply.
"You're just saying that, Harry."
"I'm not. I meant every word," Harry replied.
"I wish I had your talent in anything, really."
Hermione gave Harry an empathetic look.
"Harry, I wish you had a bit more self-esteem. You shouldn't compare yourself to me or Lila. Really, you're a very talented boy. You just have different talents than we do as all. For instance, she and I are both only so-so at flying, but you're a natural and a broomstick. I think you'd be a magnificent Quidditch player. In fact, I really think you should try out next year. I'm not going to lie. I think you could be the next great Gryffindor seeker."
Harry perked up immediately.
"You really think so?"
Hermione nodded slowly, her way of showing Harry that she was completely serious.
"I know so." She smiled radiantly. "That draughts board isn't enchanted. The pieces aren't going to play by themselves, you know."
They set the board up on a coffee table and played several rounds. It was far more enjoyable for either of them than wizard's chess, as even Hermione appreciated the much simpler rules that drafts offered. They ended up splitting their games almost evenly. That afternoon, they worked on a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. It was a picture of several brightly colored hot air balloons in a light blue sky. It took them several hours to complete it, but it was worth the effort. By the time they had finished their puzzle, it was nearly dinner time. Hermione's parents usually left the office a little early on Fridays, so Mrs. Granger was able to spend a little extra time on dinner that evening. She prepared her special meatloaf recipe with green beans and homemade mashed potatoes on the side. Harry savored every bite. It was so nice having a real home-cooked meal and eating at the same table as everyone else. At about 7 o'clock, the phone rang. Mrs. Granger picked up the phone. It was Mrs. Darling that rang. After spending about 20 minutes on the phone, Mrs. Granger called for Hermione with a huge smile on her face. "I've good news for you, love," Mrs. Granger trilled. "I'll tell you and Harry shortly, but for now, Mrs. Darling is grabbing Lila. She's been wanting to talk to you all day. And when you're finished, be sure to let Harry say hello, okay?" "Thank you, Mum," Hermione replied with a grin, as Mrs. Granger handed her daughter the receiver. "Hello, Lila?" Hermione said.
"Hey, Hermione,"
Lila replied cheerfully.
"How are you?"
Hermione couldn't hide her smile. "Oh, pretty good, all things considered." She twirled the phone cable with her index finger. "It's not easy entertaining Harry all day," she giggled. "In all seriousness, it was a great day. We played drafts and put together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle."
"A 1,000-piecer? How long did that take you?"
Lila asked inquisitively. "Maybe 4.5 hours, replied Hermione. "It's easier with 2 people, that's for sure. I wish you were here, you probably would have shaved off an hour."
"Our moms have decided on Monday, the 23rd,
Lila said.
"You, Harry, and myself will meet up in London, and we can maybe go to an art or history museum, get some lunch, then catch a matinee, and then all 3 of us and all our parents can maybe go out to dinner at an Italian restaurant. Does that sound like a plan?"
"Oh, that'd be brilliant," replied Hermione. "I can't wait."
"Neither can I,"
squeaked Lila.
"No, I know it's only been a day, but it feels really good hearing your voice again. I'm sure we'll phone each other again before we meet up."
"It's really nice hearing your voice again, too," admitted Hermione. "And I'd like that as well. But before we let you go, I'm sure you'd like to at least say hello to Harry."
"I'm not getting off the phone until I've had a word with him,"
giggled Lila. Hermione covered the speaker portion of the phone and called for Harry. He practically flew to the phone when Hermione told him that it was Lila on the other end. "Lila, is that you?" Harry asked somewhat nervously.
"Hello, Harry,"
giggled Lila.
"I've missed you."
"I miss you too, Lila," replied Harry. "I've been thinking about you a lot. I'm very, very happy being the Granger's guest. You'd make it, well, complete."
"Don't worry about me, Harry,"
Lila replied with assurance.
"I know what you mean. We are an inseparable trio, after all, but your happiness shouldn't always be dependent on me. Even if we're not in the same room or even in the same town, you know I'm always going to be there for you. I promise I don't feel left out. And from what I gather, Hermione and her family are practically pampering you. Please, just let them. You deserve nice things, Harry Potter. I know you're not used to it, but the point of a Christmas break is to let your stress melt away for a little while and spend valuable time with loved ones. Hermione adores you, and I don't think it took her parents long to become fond of you. They're celebrating you because you treat Hermione like a princess. She can't say that about most of the children she knows, both at her old primary school and at Hogwarts."
There was a brief pause before Lila continued.
"Anyway, I also adore you, Harry. You're the most special boy I've ever met, and I can't wait to spend Monday with you. We'll have pretty much the whole day together in London. Our mums were thinking that we could see a museum, grab a little lunch, and then catch a movie in the afternoon, and maybe both families could have dinner together at a nice restaurant. It'll be perfect."
Lila could practically sense Harry's smile from the phone. "Thank you, Lila. I adore you too, for what it's worth. You're the best first friend I could ever have asked for, and everything you told me is true. I promise I'm happy. It's just that it seems too good to be true because I'm just not used to this, you know?"
"That makes perfect sense,"
replied Lila.
"I'm just glad you're finally getting your childhood back, or at least a taste of it. When you step on the Hogwarts Express to head back to the castle, you're going to have a mile-wide smile on your face, I guarantee it."
Harry let out a bit of a laugh. "I think you're right, Lila. And by the way, I can't wait for Monday. It's going to be great. All 3 of us together, but as regular happy children. I've wanted this my whole life."
"I agree wholeheartedly, Harry,"
replied Lila.
"And the best part is, this is just the first of many such meetings. The 3 of us will be having many, many get-togethers as ordinary children over the next several holidays. 20 years from now, we'll be looking at these sweet, innocent memories. We're only children once, after all. Oh, and we've been on the phone for a good while. I'll have to let you go for now, Harry. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. Please tell Hermione I said goodnight, and that we'll phone each other tomorrow sometime, okay?" Bye now, Harry.
I was just getting used to hearing her voice too, Lila, Harry chuckled. I understand, though. I'll let Hermione know. I can't wait to talk to you again and see you in London on Monday. Bye.
The big day finally arrived. Mrs. Granger took Harry and Hermione to London and waited outside the Victoria and Albert Museum in South Kensington for Lila and Mrs. Darling. It was definitely a chilly day again, so everyone took care to bundle up. Fortunately, they didn't have to wait outside very long, as Lila instantly recognized her friends from a distance and took off as fast as her legs could carry her. She wrapped Harry and then Hermione up in warm hugs.
Happy Christmas, Harry. Happy Christmas, Hermione, Lila murmured.
The grey vapor from her breath was quite visible in the chilly air.
Oh, have your Christmas gifts.
She handed each of them a gift bag, grinning broadly. Hermione dug into her bag and produced a small, dark red felt-covered box. She opened it up and found a gold-chained necklace with a heart-shaped ruby on the pendant. She gasped at the rather luxurious-looking piece of jewelry.
Lotto, I don't even know what to say. It's beautiful, she said in a soft voice. Thank you.
Lila smiled at Hermione.
I had to give my favorite Gryffindor girl a little reminder that she has the heart of a lion.
Hermione gave Lila a tight hug in appreciation.
I'll wear it proudly, she murmured.
Harry reached in and found a bag of freeze-dried bugs. He tried to smile at her but couldn't help the puzzled look he gave her.
That's nice, Lila, but what am I supposed to do with these?
Lila giggled.
Those are treats for Hedwig, silly, she clarified. I did some research, and apparently elves love a good cricket or two every now and then.
She then pointed at the bag.
Keep looking in the bag. There's a little something in there for you.
Harry reached back in the bag and found a small black photo album. It wasn't very big, not much bigger than his hand, and it didn't look like it could hold many pictures, but when he opened, he saw about a dozen somewhat grainy-looking photographs from about 15 years ago. He looked at the pictures more closely. Were those his parents? The goofy-looking teen looked a lot like Harry. The same dark, shaggy hair, the same type of glasses, the same red and gold motif. That had to be his father, James. He also saw a pretty girl of about 15 or 16 in those pictures with reddish hair and brilliant green eyes that greatly resembled Harry's... mom? Harry's jaw dropped.
I don't know where you found these pictures, Lana, but thank you. I don't have a lot of things that remind me of my parents, but these are the most wonderful photos I've ever seen. I couldn't have asked for a better Christmas present.
Lila shot Harry a bit of a sneaky grin.
Well, I can't take all the credit, Harry. Several weeks ago, I asked your house head if she had any photos of your mum and dad that I could give to you as a Christmas present. I figured she'd be the best one to ask because she was also their house head. She was a bit surprised that I asked, but I told her that since you can't have your parents back for Christmas, then perhaps some photos would be the next best thing. She was quite fond of your parents too, you know, and she let me take a handful. So to make a long story short, please tell your professor thank you when you return to the castle.
She gave Harry a warm hug.
Oh, and we have something for you, Lila, Harry said.
He handed her a small brown box. She opened it and saw a bracelet much like what Daphne and Tracy received, except hers was gold, with three jet-black, brilliantly cut opals embedded in it.
Thank you, Harry. That looks like it cost a small fortune, Lila said.
She then giggled.
It's lovely. Hufflepuff colors, I see.
It's impossible to put a price on friendship, replied Harry. You and Hermione are worth more to me than all the galleons ever minted.
Do you mind if I put it on?
Lila asked Harry. He smiled gently and nodded. Lila gently placed the bracelet over her left hand and adjusted the clasp for a perfect fit.
It looks terrific on you, Lila, Hermione said, and this is from me.
She handed Lila a white envelope. Inside was a Christmas card with a dancing snowman on it. Lila opened the card and saw a gift card for Sarah's spectacular spa and salon.
I know I told you how utterly amazing pedicures are. This gift card should cover one and then some. Sarah's has a few locations in the greater London area, so you shouldn't have to go too terribly far, I'd imagine. She smiled at Lila. I doubt we'll be able to get one together this time, but we'll have plenty of opportunity in the summer.
Thank you, Hermione, Lila murmured. I can't wait to see what they're all about. The three children and Mrs. Darling and Mrs. Granger went inside the art museum. Harry had expected to see mostly paintings and sculptures, but was taken aback at how comprehensive the museum actually was. It had extensive jewelry collections, musical instruments, books, and various costumes from the late Renaissance through modern times. Harry was intrigued by the armor plating used by 16th and 17th century infantry and cavalry. He had seen them in books and the occasional educational film used in his old primary school classroom, but never in real life like this. To him, this was as magical as, well, magic itself. The court plate looked really heavy. Even the chest plate probably weighed more than Harry did. The helmets with their hinged visors and bright plumage. It was so cool seeing it up close and personal. Of course, Hermione completely lost herself in the book collection. She lamented that she couldn't actually read them, but some of the books were many, many hundreds of years old. Even if she were to try to read them, she feared that they would crumble upon the slightest touch. But just looking at them was still plenty fascinating. She took particular joy in seeing some authentic Da Vinci journals and some Shakespeare manuscripts. Lila was fascinated by the fashion section. She was especially enthralled with the early 19th century costumes. She imagined herself in a Jane Austen or a Bronte sister novel in an evening gown, but the corsets that went with them had to be dreadfully uncomfortable. Although they were pretty to look at, she was grateful to be in practical clothing like blue jeans and trainers that day. They spent a good 2 hours at the museum, and they had a light lunch at the museum cafe. After lunch, they went to the nearest cinema so the children could catch a matinee before dinner. Harry had the money that Daphne and Tracy gave him for Christmas, so he offered to pay for Lila and Hermione's tickets as well. They looked at the list of movies playing, and Harry, being ever the gentleman, let his lady friends pick the film. The girls went through the list of films, and when Harry asked if they made a decision, Lila and Hermione looked at each other and giggled, before turning to Harry.
My girl,
they said at the same time, still giggling. Harry brought a big tub of buttered popcorn and 3 lemon-lime fizzy drinks, and they showed their tickets to the ticket taker, who directed them to the 3rd door on their left. At the end of the movie, both Lila and Hermione were crying their eyes out. It was so unfair that sweet, innocent Thomas Jay got stung to death by a swarm of angry bees. Harry shook his head in disbelief as they made their way to the main lobby.
It's just a silly movie. Besides, Macaulay Culkin might as well be Malfoy Culkin as far as I'm concerned. You can't deny that they do resemble each other a fair bit.
Both Hermione and Lila gave Harry a humongous eye roll. The movie finished at around 3:30. Mrs. Darling and Mrs. Granger waited for the children in the movie complex lobby.
Did you enjoy the movie?
Mrs. Darling asked the children.
We did, replied Lila.
Harry asked us what we wanted to see, and it's what Hermione and I picked.
I don't think it's Harry's cup of tea, added Hermione, but he was such a good sport about it.
As long as I'm with my 2 best friends, I'm happy, Harry replied with a silly grin. It was all right for a girly movie.
Both Lila and Hermione giggled.
Your father had to leave the office a little early today to meet us for dinner, Hermione, Mrs. Granger said, and I'd imagine that Mr. Darling will be getting off shortly himself.
We have reservations at Young Connors at 5:30. The holiday traffic is starting to be a bit of a factor, so it may take us a fair bit to get there. If anyone needs to use the loo, this would be an opportune time.
Although the restaurant was only 3 or 4 miles away or so, the traffic was moving very, very slowly. After all, Christmas Day was just 2 days away, and literally millions of people were on the road visiting family or even preparing to travel abroad. It took almost an hour to get to the restaurant. Harry figured it was almost as efficient had they walked. They had parked their cars around 4:45, but neither Mrs. Granger nor Mrs. Darling wanted to go inside just yet.
Mum? Lila asked. I'm guessing it'll be at least 15 or 20 minutes before they'll even seat us. Would it be okay if I go to the Granger's car and sit with Harry and Hermione? I see them just a few spots over.
I suppose, Mrs. Darling sighed.
Let Mrs. Granger know that I'll knock on her door when I'm ready to get seated. Probably be about 1/4 after and give or take a few minutes.
Thanks, Mum, replied Lila as she unbuckled herself and skipped to her friends just a few cars down. She knocked on the rear passenger door. Harry saw the smiling face of Lila, so he opened the door up for her, and he scooted over to give her some room to sit.
Lila grinned at her friends.
Hey, you two. My mum said I could sit with you two while we wait for a table to open.
She leaned forward slightly.
Oh, Mrs. Granger. She said she'll knock on your door when she's ready to go in and be seated. It'll be about 4:45.
Mrs. Granger turned around, smiling and nodding at Lila.
Very good, love, she murmured.
The three friends chatted away for the next 20-odd minutes before Mrs. Darling knocked on Mrs. Granger's door. Mrs. Granger rolled her window down.
I suppose you're ready to go inside, Janet?
Mrs. Darling nodded.
It was getting pretty lonely in that car. I couldn't wait a minute longer. I could use some company. It'd be a lot more comfortable inside, I think.
Everyone went inside the restaurant, where their table had just opened up a few minutes prior. Perfect timing, Mrs. Darling thought to herself. Mr. Granger and Mr. Darling both made it to the table a few minutes later. They both asked their daughters how their day went, and both Hermione and Lila were all smiles. It was nothing short of fantastic. Then they both asked Harry some questions, which made Harry a little nervous, as if he was being judged. He wasn't dating either of their daughters, but he also didn't want to sound like a complete moron. Thankfully, they didn't really bring up anything Hogwarts-related, as it would have been awkward to discuss in public, but the questions they did ask made him feel a bit uncomfortable because he was so sheltered before Hogwarts. Mr. Darling asked Harry if he had a favorite football team. Harry merely shrugged and said, "Wolverhampton, I guess? I never really followed association football too much, I'm afraid." He only knew of Wolverhampton because Dudley had a Wanderer's cap at one point. Mr. Granger asked Harry what part of the United Kingdom he was from. A fair question, Harry thought. "I'm from Surrey, but I don't really miss it," he said. Harry decided to change the direction of the conversation and tell them, in a rather sanitized fashion, the stories of how he met their respective daughters. He told Mr. Darling about how he and Lila met on the train back in the beginning of September, and how kind and caring she was from the moment they met. They shared some treats together, and they went over some of their textbooks. Harry didn't specify that they were spell books, but that wasn't important. What was important was that they struck an immediate friendship. She even taught him how to tie his necktie. He then told Mr. Granger that he and Lila were placed in separate houses, and he was so disappointed that he began crying because nobody in the world had ever treated him as kindly as Lila did. That was until Hermione, his new housemate, reached out to him and showed how kind she was too. Both Harry and Hermione were lonely, as neither of them really knew anybody else at that point, except for Lila, who sat at another table, which might as well be across the English Channel. Hermione asked Harry if she could be his friend, which he gladly accepted. She even said that it was possible to maintain a friendship with Lila, as they would have some classes together, plus it was possible to sit at others' tables. It didn't take long for Lila and Hermione to become friends either. They were as devoted to each other as they were to Harry. Harry ordered spaghetti and meatballs. Lila ordered lasagna, and Hermione got fettuccine Alfredo. It was nice having a real meal together, as normal children for once. It was perfect. He never wanted it to end. But the evening did have to end, unfortunately, so the three friends had to say goodbye to each other until after Christmas. They all huddled by the Granger's car in the parking lot for a few precious last minutes together. "Happy Christmas, Harry and Hermione," Lila said, embracing her friends tightly. "Happy Christmas, Lila," Hermione said. "Happy Christmas, Lila," added Harry. "I had a brilliant time with you today. I'm going to treasure this memory forever." Mrs. Darling scuttled over to the children before they went their separate ways. "Let me snap a photo of the three of you," she said. "I'll make sure each of you gets one before you go back to Scotland." She reached into her purse and produced a black Nikon camera. "On the count of three, everybody smile. 1, 2, 3. The end. For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.